Thanks for joining us at Reveal, a Jesus-centered community. To learn more about us and what's going on, check us out on the web at www.revealvineyard.com. We hope in the minutes to come, you're able to find God, find others, and find yourself. Thanks again for listening.
Good morning. Good morning. We're just going to start right out today and pray for the service. My name is Daniel. I have the honor of leading you guys, feeding you guys today. But let's go ahead and pray for the service. Heavenly Father, we're grateful to be here today. And Lord, I just pray that no matter what distractions have kind of encountered us this week, Lord, that we would be able to set all things aside in this place and to be open. God, I pray today that you would open our eyes to see, that you would open our ears to hear, and you would open our hearts to receive what it is that you have for each one of us today. But because, God, your word says it, the direction, so out of the abundance of the heart, our lives come out of that, but our heart determines the direction of our lives. Lord, be with us today. And as we give, Lord, I pray that you would bless the offering, that you would bless those as they give. And Father, that you would help us just to trust you, not just in our finances, but in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right. So let's get going. Let's get started. We're actually in the fourth week of what's been an incredible series so far called 2020 Vision for the Future. Now, no judgment, okay, so no judging, because I know sickness has been going around like crazy. Amen? Yes, yes. But by a show of hands, who's been here with us for all three messages so far this year? That's a good number. Awesome. All you that didn't raise your hands after the service, we're going to have a special prayer for you off to the side. I know the sickness has been getting us. It's got my family as well. I want you guys to go ahead and stand with me today, if you would, for the reading of God's word. And before we jump in, though, and I was trying right there to be able to kind of just procrastinate so we get those buckets to the back. But before we jump in, though, I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to give you guys the title of my sermon right up front. But before I give it to you, we're going to do a little synchronized stretch. I know life has been kind of tight, but here we go, and I want you guys to follow me, okay? Follow me. Stretch. Stretch. It's fun to stay, stretch them out, and then bring it in here. And then go over to the left. Then bring it back up to the top. And go ahead and cut it. Cut it. The Village People. The title of my message today, The Village People. We are going to read, okay? And so last time, when we read today, I'm going to go ahead and do the reading, and you guys just listen, follow along. Because last time we had everybody trying to read it once, and it was all over the place. So Mark 8, 22 to 26. When they arrived at Bethsaida, some people brought a blind man to Jesus, and they begged him to touch the man and heal him. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. Then, spitting on the man's eyes, he laid his hands on him. Spitting threw me off for a minute. Spitting on the man's eyes, he laid his hands on him and asked, "Can you see anything now?" The man looked around. "Yes," he said, "I see people, but I can't see them very clearly. They look like trees walking around." Then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again, and his eyes were open. His sight was completely restored, and he could see everything clearly. Jesus sent him away, saying, "Don't go back into the village on your way home. Please be seated." We're going to unpack this story today in 6 different parts. And my hope is that by the time that we're done today, you'll be able to see, like I've seen, that this story is not only a display of Jesus' healing power, but it also creates a directional map for us to follow in the simple yet complex process of faith. One important note, before we get to unpacking though, let's look at the village that Jesus and his disciples just entered into, Bethsaida. We'll talk about Bethsaida. Some of you don't know how to say Bethsaida, but it's Bethsaida. In Matthew 11, Jesus expresses his frustration with the people of Bethsaida. "Woe to you. Woe to you, Bethsaida," Jesus declared. And it wasn't a "woe to you." It was a "woe to you, Bethsaida." So you can translate that a couple different ways, but "woe to you, Bethsaida." Because despite witnessing his mighty works here in Bethsaida, the people of this village refused to repent and believe the gospel. Bethsaida was actually one of 3 groups that Jesus singled out. It also happened to be the hometown of Peter, Andrew, and Philip. So they're entering back into Bethsaida. It's kind of a homecoming for some of the disciples. So the village of Bethsaida was a place where Jesus did miracles in people's lives. But they kept denying him by going back to their old ways. Here's where the story begins. We're going to break this down. When they arrived to Bethsaida, some people brought a blind man to Jesus, and they begged him to touch the man and heal him. I've got my water bottle here, right here. Anytime you can go in a fight, you always need a water bottle like that. So, hear me on this. The better that we're able to connect with the story, the more the story will impact us. The true beauty of this story is, if you're able, and I say this to every single one of you, if you're able, and I'm able, to find a way to connect with him, you just might be able to receive what God did for him. To have a better understanding of the blind man's life of futility, we have to first beware of his extreme state of vulnerability. See, our blind friend was so vulnerable. How many would agree that the state of our culture today is a lot more confused than clear? This lack of clarity could also be translated as being in a state of blindness. Why is this? Satan, who is a god of the world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand. Marty said a long time ago, the worst thing about being deceived is you don't know it. Being vulnerable is a byproduct of blindness. Being vulnerable is a byproduct of blindness. For example, if I was blind, you could tell me that my teeth are black, my wife was blonde, because she is kind of dark, but my wife was blonde, and if I take 10 large steps forward right now, I'll have the time of my life. And I'd have to believe it because I had no vision. Like the blind man in our story, when we have no vision, we tend to shape our lives through other people's eyes or by how other people see things. Especially at a young age, many of us here today were actually shaped and still shaped by the voices that came from the villages in which we grew up. The voices that said we'd never be good enough. The voices that compared us to our siblings and made us feel less than. The voices that created hatred within us. The voices that created insecurities. The voices that lied to us. The voices that always spoke loudly but never spoke love. The voices hurt And many of you, if you're honest, you still hear those voices that shaped you when you were young, when you were vulnerable. Our vulnerability is not just the voices, but equally impressionable are the influences. When I have no vision of my own, just like the blind man, my village becomes the greatest influence of my vision. So it's safe to say then that I'm most influenced by the villages where I spend the greatest amount of time. With that said, I've got two questions for you this morning. Question number one, based on the factor of time spent, and we talked about in the weeks past, what is influencing your life the most? Question number two, also based on the factor of time spent, who is influencing your life the most? Let's really talk about the what, real quick. Like, I want to start by talking about the world that I carry around in my back pocket. Let's talk about technology. Let me say first, I strongly believe that technology can be used to our utmost advantage if we are intentionally strategic in how we actually use it. But I also strongly believe that if we are not intentional, technology will end up using us. This one point by itself could be an entire series. So we're going to hit a few real quick. Twitter. TikTok. Some of you older people don't even know TikTok. What's the TikTok? Facebook. You're like, I know that one. Instagram. Snap. There you go. Look at that. Snapchat. She got it in the front. In the front. So how much of our time do we spend being influenced by social media? Many times, if we're not careful, we can get caught up in comparing ourselves to our friends, the famous, the fitness models, and even our foes. We compare their lives to ours, and this comparison will cause us to covet and compare the reality of our lives to the reality show of theirs. And I want you to hear me on this. Comparison and coveting meaning wanting what someone else has, will absolutely destroy your peace. Next up, the virtual village. Some of you guys wanted to scream, be like, yeah, that's like, yeah, I feel that. The virtual village of the online gaming world. In an interview I did recently with my youngest son, Isaac, I asked him to be honest. I said, son, be honest about the power of these virtual villages and how they have the ability to influence. He said, yeah, Dad, if I get online without having spent my, what we call it in our house is God time, and if I'm in there too long, I end up getting upset, frustrated, and irritated. All the crap talk, cussing, stress can make me come out feeling empty and angry. Influenced by his village. And here's the crazy part. Gaming often becomes a gateway or a hiding place to the epidemic called the taboo. Is that okay if I leave it? I'm just leave it there so I don't have to keep reaching down. Pornography. Some of you guys, some of our hearts just dropped to our stomach. What about this one? You don't have to raise your hand, but does this village influence anyone in here today? See, both men and women are suffering in silence because there's an extreme amount of shame that Satan blinds us with when it comes to this toxic and poisonous village. I believe this is for someone here this morning. And God put this on my heart clearly. I'm going to be bold in speaking it out. Here it is. Just because you're not having sex with someone else physically doesn't mean that your virtual alternative, yeah, vultural as well. It eats you, it kills you. I'm going to read it again. Just because you're not having sex with someone else physically doesn't mean that your virtual alternative is keeping you pure. It's an eternal parasite that leaves you lifeless. It eats away at your friendships, your relationships, and your marriages from the inside out. It puts us in a place of internal isolation that's absolutely unhealthy at best. And I want to say, hear me on this. The sad truth is, unless you were freed from its vices, you'll never reach your full potential. You just won't. And the worst part about it is you'll never know what potential really looks like until you're free. Because it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So if there's not freedom, there's not enough of the Spirit. What are your virtual villages? Where do you spend the most time? These villages are influences, and they're influencing your vision. Let's switch quickly so you guys can take a deep breath. Some of you guys weren't breathing there for that part. Let's switch quickly to the, everybody's letting out slowly now so no one knows next to them. Let's switch quickly to the second question, the who. Not the band, the who. I know we've heard this numerous times, but here it is again. I am the average of my five closest friends, the average. I will stay in, and I like to say it this way, my inner circle shapes my inner self. We were created to soar like eagles, but many of us choose to surround ourselves by ducks. Marty said this a few months back, and it was golden. He said, surround yourself with people who have common values, not just common interests. I love what Jesus does here to make this point crystal clear. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. See, they initially asked Jesus if he would just touch their blind friend. In response to their request, I find it interesting that Jesus didn't touch his eyes like they initially asked, but he took him by the hand and led him where he's leading many of you today out of his village of influence. Now, I need you guys to go ahead. You put your hands together this one. And I need you guys right now. I'm going to need your help right here. So wake up if you're sleeping. I need you to start clapping because I can't clap with one hand and an iPad. So I need you to clap for me. But Jesus said, go ahead. I'm saying start clapping. Keep clapping. But Jesus said, blind man with no name, I know you're worried about your vision, but I'm worried about your village. And I know you're worried about your eyes, but I'm worried about your environment. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up and give God praise this morning because he knows better than me. He knows more than me. He knows the beginning and he knows the end. He knows the end. He knows me better than I know me because he created me. He is my God. He is my King. Take 5 minutes and give him praise like you haven't given him praise yet this decade yet. Sit down, we gotta finish the story. Jesus knew, what good is it for me to touch? What good is it for me to touch you and give you new eyes if you're gonna be residing in the same negative, no offense, environment? Because truth be told, take my hand, son, it's okay. Because truth be told, new eyes in a negative environment will contaminate your new eyes. Church family, sit down. We've got to check our villages because our villages are influencing our village. You might be saying, Daniel, I've tried. I really have. And I'm so frustrated with myself. I keep going back. Your frustration has taken you to a place of desperation. To be honest, if you're here, and if you're truly sick and tired of being sick and tired, your whole new year, new decade, hasn't really started off the way you'd hoped. I believe you're actually exactly where you need to be today. Your lack of sight just might be leading you to the exact same place that we find our blind friend in the story. See, his lack of sight led to his surrender, or his surrendered place in time. We are now entering into what I like to call the spit zone. I just spit right there right now when I said that. Or your surrendered place in time. And in this two-touch miracle, which was the only two-touch miracle Jesus ever did, out of 37 recorded miracles, which he did a whole lot more than that, John said at the end of his book that he did so many more than that, but that was what was recorded. This was the only one that it took two touches. The first touch only came after his choice to surrender. The spit zone. Then, spitting on the man's eyes, he laid his hands on him. Just so you know, this isn't the first time that Jesus spit on somebody. If we had more time to go into it, we'd find at least two other instances where Jesus used spit. Ladies and gentlemen, church family, just so you know, our Savior was somewhat of a serial spitter. Some of you are laughing. Okay, some of you guys laugh right now, but you're like I was. Like, I've never understood, like, spit? Really, Jesus? Seems kind of cruel. I submit to you a recent summary of what I learned about your spitting Savior. See, in those times, there was a cultural belief that there was actually healing power in spit. They believed that spit carried medicinal value. Obviously, Jesus knew that the healing power wasn't in the spit. It was in him. And he also knew that they didn't know spit about spit. But with that said, I said spit. Well, with that said, what seemed to you and I to be cruel was actually the most compassionate thing our Savior could have done. Because what Jesus was saying is this: I know you think it's in the spit, and although I know it's in me, if your belief starts at spit, I'm willing to meet you right where you're at. And some of you guys need to hear that this morning. I'm willing to meet you right where you're at. Psalm 34 says, God is near to the brokenhearted. He's saying, I'm willing to connect to your cultural comprehension so I can show you my incredible compassion. The spit zone. It might bring us to a surrendered place in time, but it also creates a starting point into transition. Two acronyms, one phrase, that's amazing. Transition. Then, spitting on the man's eyes, he laid his hands on him and asked, can you see anything now? Then Jesus asked him a question. Since when does Jesus do follow-up questions on his miracles? He sounds more like a magician, not the Messiah. Like when they're doing, he's like, is this your card? Truth is, Jesus always knows the answer. So when he asks questions, the questions he asks are not for him, but they're for us. Let's look at the man's response after Jesus asks him if he can see, because it's so key. The man looked around. Yes, he said, I see people, but I can't see them clearly. They look like trees walking around. He's in transition now. He's no longer blind. He's just a little blurry. You may be thinking like I'm thinking. What was wrong with Jesus' power? Like an iPhone low battery alert. Were Jesus' powers running out? Or was this something Jesus planned in order to turn this healing into a parable? The most important thing that our blurry buddy teaches us while we're in transition is this. While in transition, always be honest about your condition. He could have said, oh yeah, Jesus, looks great. Is that a tree or a man or a Bigfoot? What the heck did this guy do to my eyes? But he was honest. He could have said, nah, Jesus, looks great. Perfect. Everything looks perfect. But see, I believe that Jesus actually did this on purpose because he knew that there was a blessing in blurry. I believe that Jesus might have wanted us to learn this here today, that when things aren't clear and when life gets blurry, this guy said, lean back. But this guy said, lean in. Jesus is saying to us today, when my vision is blurry, lean into him. When I don't feel like I once did, lean into him. When I don't look like I once did, lean into him. When I'm not loving her like I should, lean into him. When life isn't living up to my expectations, lean into him. In my blurry state, he wants me to just be honest about my condition and lean into him. Because he knows that my honesty is a gateway to my opportunity. Then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again, and his eyes were open. His sight was completely restored, and he could see clearly. See, this is how it works. First, honesty, then clarity. Here it is. Why was honesty so important in this particular story? Wait for it. Because this probably wasn't the first opportunity that the blind man had to see clearly. Mark doesn't tell us about the blind man's backstory, but he leaves another Blue's Clue in the story that I actually passed by on purpose. Does anybody remember what the blind man sent back to Jesus after Jesus' first touch? Let's paraphrase it. I see people, they look like trees walking around. Say it with me. I see people, they look like trees walking around. Here's my question. How the heck did this blind man know what trees and people look like if he'd always been blind? Arsenio Hall, the things that make you go, See, I'm going to go out on a limb here today. And I believe this little piece of the story is for someone here today. Maybe a couple of someones. Here it is. You've been clear before. You've seen clearly before. And it might have been a really, really long time ago. You actually doubted if you were ever going to get your clarity back. If you'd ever have another opportunity. The last time things got blurry, instead of being honest and leaning in, you lied to others, you lied to yourself, and you walked away from God and went back to your old villages, looking for new opportunities. You won't find new opportunities in your old villages. You went back to the person that treated you badly, looking for love. If I came off my ear, it would be hard. You went back to the Bethsaida village that God told you to stay away from, looking to fan an old flame or scratch that itch. You once knew the truth. You once had new eyes. But when things got blurry, you went back to the life that God had pulled you out of. And here's what he's telling you. It's the same final instructions he gave the blind man. Jesus sent him away saying, don't go back. Don't go back into the village on your way home. It's time to come home. Don't go backwards. Don't go to the villages that blinded you in the past. Don't go back to the voices in the villages that shaped your negative view of yourself. God says, the way they see you is not the way I see you. This is a new year, a new decade, a new start. And if you learn to lean into me when it gets blurry, stay surrendered like you once did, and trust me, I will reshape you, I will redeem you, I will give you clear eyes, and I will give you new vision. New village, I will bring you into it. I will bring you into a new village. An old saying I learned over 20 years ago, a person without a vision is a person without a future. And a person without a future will always return to their past. I believe it works with our teaching today as well. A person without a new village is a person without a future. And a person without a future will always turn to their old villages. Church, family, it's time to leave Bethsaida once and for all. We need to begin to find new villages, not just any village, because God knows we need to find some valuable villages. But what makes a village valuable? Hear me on this. The value of a village is determined by the values of the village. I'm going to say it one more time. The value of a village is determined by the values of the village. So where do you find a new village with values? I'm so glad you asked. <laughs> 50 Days of Transformation. I want to tell you quickly, this last year we did What on Earth Am I Here For? And that literally changed the direction of my life. I said many times, and I've so told some of you, that that group, that village that we started with, literally allowed for me and was the catalyst to me having, I'm going to say it, and I'm not overshooting it, the best year of my life. So you guys are going to have, these are groups. I want to ask real quick, like, though, that all my lead, anybody that's going to be leading a group or leading a table group, if you would, you would stand for me. Stand where you're at. And you guys are the leaders. You're the leaders. Stand up. That's okay. You can stand up. Don't be shy. Leaders aren't shy. Now I'm going to make it. Now, here, we're going to create a time of transition. So I want you guys all to come up front for me. Head on up. No. Don't sit down alone. Get up here. Up here. And I want you to turn around so everybody can see your wonderful faces, because this doesn't mean anything to anybody. Come on up. We got a lot to get through still here. Kind of. Come on up. So if you're leading, I want you to see these faces. Because sometimes it's hard to look at this and you're like, who is that? Oh, that sounds like a good group, but who is that? Okay, here they are. I want you guys to give these guys a round of applause for being willing to do it. We're gonna have a table set up afterwards. And so I want you guys to look at some of these faces. If you want to grab one of them, talk to them. I am asking that everybody, this bottom portion of this pamphlet, everybody fills it out. I'm challenging you. Everybody, fill it out and find a group. And if you can't find a group and you don't know, we have our dinner groups here as well. Feel free to sign up for that. It's under my name. We have young adult groups. We have some specialty groups that meet on Wednesday night. We actually even, my mother-in-law, we have a Spanish group. We have a Spanish group, Spanish material. I waited for that to unveil her at that moment. We have Spanish material. Everybody's speaking Spanish, so if you feel more comfortable with Spanish, Daniel and Jeanette, yeah, yes. Well done. So what I want to do is I want you guys to turn around and face me real quick, because these leaders are going to be the people. These are the people. You're the people that are going to lead us into this next season of this church. There's an African word called, it says, I'm going to try to say it right. Lord, you can tell me if I get it wrong. It's Ubuntu. Ubuntu. U-B-U-N-T-U. And it means, I am. Face. I am. You're good. My OCD kicked in there, right? He was out of line. I'm like, get in line. I am because we are. Basically, what they mean by that is, and I say this to each and every one of you, I can't be all that I should be without you, and you can't be all that you should be without me. Ubuntu. Everybody stand with me if you would. Let's pray. I want to pray first for the leaders this morning. God, I thank you for these that have chosen. It's hard enough to do life and keep ourselves on track, much less leading others. And God, I think that we find what we needed to find from the blind man, because the blind man was honest. And Lord, in order for us, I pray for each and every leader here, God, that they would not settle for the level that they've leaded on in the past, but you would begin to call them to higher standards, to a new and a clearer vision. God, let us be vulnerable to what it is that you see in us and how you see us. God, I know that there's areas in our lives as leaders. Leading is lonely. So I pray that each and every one of these leaders, I pray for each and every one of them, God, that you would guide them, that you would lead them, that you would connect to them, that the areas where they are vulnerable, the areas where they may have influences that they need to get away from, even as leaders, that they would find that there is strength in their standards. Father, so many times as we just expect them to do, and God, I want to say from my heart to each and every one of theirs, and as a church family, God, we thank them. We thank them for stepping out. We thank them for putting in the work. We thank them for the sacrifice. We're going to end today with a song. And in an attitude of worship, you can go ahead and start that song for me. I want to invite. See, we talked about transition. And sometimes transition is tough. Sometimes transition is tough because things are blurry. And as we spoke today, as we shared today, there may have been some things that God spoke to you. I've carried a burden. I want to give you guys the opportunity today in an attitude of worship to say, I will stand behind these leaders. These leaders need people to lead. So I ask whether you be at your seat and fill out the form, or if you take the bold step of coming up, getting in the aisles, doing the business you need to do. It's a 5-minute song, so I'm going to shut up here in 1 minute, hopefully. But I want to open it up for you guys. This is between you and God this morning. I want to give you space. I want to give you space. Let's worship together. Turn it up for me, please. Run to the Father, a falling to grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I'll run to the Father again and again and again and again. Oh, oh, oh. You saw my condition, had a plan from the start. Time to step out. We are. step out. Don't be ashamed to be honest. Honesty is what led to his opportunity. It was his honesty that led to his opportunity. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for your word, God. Thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, as we head out, God, I pray that you would give everybody the courage to, at a minimum, to just sign up. In the weeks to come, they would be encouraged to show up. God, this journey that we enter into here in the next couple of weeks, starting in the week of February 9th, Lord, I know that what you did in my life last year, God, you are not a respecter of persons, meaning what you will do for one, you will do for all. And so, God, I pray that you would, even as we leave here, the connections that we make, somebody saw a face that maybe like, man, I want to talk to that person, or I want to talk to that person. Lord, that we make those connections as we leave, that you would cultivate it all organically as we leave. And God, we just thank you. We thank you, we thank you, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. You guys have a wonderful, wonderful week. There's gonna be people out by the tents. Some of you leaders, if you can make your way out to the tents, there's a place to sign up. We wanna make sure that we can read your email. So make sure that they'll be out there. Make sure that you take them out to them. Get signed up. Haven't you been suffering long enough? Make your way down to the altar.